we can learn a lesson from the moon. That when people criticize you, that when people bark at you, when people dog you out, when people attack you, when people come at you, that we need to be like the moon. And even though that dog will stay out there and bark all night long, that dog, barking at the moon all night long, that moon just keeps on shining. That moon don't back up. That moon don't hide away. That moon just keeps on shining.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, Founder of Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, Part 1, from our series, How Great is Our God? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens.
Planets have more than one moon. We've got one moon. Well, because God only wanted us to have one moon. But think about what the moon does. The moon, two times a day, produces a high tide. And two times a day, produces a low tide. The moon, look how bad the moon is. It can pull the Atlantic Ocean and then push it back out again. It can pull the Pacific Ocean and then push it back out again. Look how bad the moon is. But who made the moon? God made the moon. Now, listen to this. In your notes at the very end, the last couple sentences of your notes, it says, tides provide an important component of the ocean's currents. Without these currents, the oceans would stagnate along the seacoast of the world, and the death of marine life, both animals and oxygen-producing plants, would soon follow. If it was just stagnant along the coast, that it would wipe out much of the wildlife, the animal life that lives in those regions of the sea. So what does God do? God allows this self-cleansing process to take place where he pulls the oceans up. It's almost like, you know, somebody on dialysis, right? You know, he pulls it up, recycles, and then sends it back out again. What a powerful God that we serve. We can learn a lesson from the moon too. We can learn a lesson from the moon. There was a judge who had this lawyer, and the lawyer was very obnoxious and, you know, spoke in rough language, and the judge would let him get away with it. And every time this lawyer came to court, he would speak in rough and obnoxious language, and the judge would let him get away. One day, the judge went to dinner with someone who was an observer of what was going on, and they said to the judge, why do you let this guy get away with this all the time? And the judge said this. He said, uptown where I live, he said, there's a widow who has a dog. Whenever there's a full moon, the dog barks all night. And so the judge didn't say anything else. And they kept eating. And somebody said, well, what are you saying, judge? You gave us that story. What about the dog and what about the moon? And the judge replied, well, the moon just keeps on shining. We can learn a lesson from the moon. That when people criticize you, that when people bark at you, when people dog you out, when people attack you, when people come at you, that we need to be like the moon. And even though that dog will stay out there and bark all night long, that dog, barking at the moon all night long, that moon just keeps on shining. That moon don't back up. That moon don't hide away. That moon just keeps on shining. And I just want to let you know that when you get in trouble, when somebody attacks you, don't let anybody back you up. Don't let anybody turn you around. You just keep on shining for God. Just keep on shining. The moon. Oh, what a powerful, powerful God that we have. Well, let's move on from the moon and let's look at the sun. Let's look at the sun. The sun was spoken into existence by the word of God. We already read Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. The sun is like a glowing hot ball of hydrogen gas. I mean, it's just out there and it's just filled with this hydrogen gas just burning up the skies of the universe. It's an extremely efficient source of energy. I said this a couple of weeks ago. If we as the planet Earth were placed any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Just a short distance closer, we'd burn up. Just a short distance away, we would all freeze. Now, how in the world can something like that happen by accident? How in the world can this Earth just maintain this pattern for all these years, however old the Earth is? I know there's a lot of debate as to the age of the Earth, but however old the Earth is, how can it just maintain that pattern so that we don't burn up and freeze? There must be a God. If we were to empty the sun out, you could fit 100, or you could, if we emptied it out, you could fit 1 million Earths into the sun. That's how big it is. But here's the thing that blows me away. Watch this now. Oh, how great is our God? How great is our God? If we were to go to the sun is 93 million miles away. If we were to get in the car and drive at 65 miles an hour, it would take us 163 years to drive to the sun. Now, I've been trying to figure this out, and I haven't figured it out yet. But where's heaven? Heaven, or where God is, as we read in the Bible, his centralized presence. We know that God is omnipresent. We know he's everywhere. But where is his centralized presence? Well, it's in heaven, because the Revelation tells us that as we look through the scripture. Now, where is heaven at? Heaven is way out there somewhere. I don't know where it's at. You know, heaven might be, as far as we know and what man has observed, you know, man hasn't observed anything that would look like heaven, you know, a place where, you know, angels are worshiping, you know, life on another planet, you know. So evidently, heaven must be beyond the realm of what man can observe. It's beyond the realm of what man can observe. We can observe the sun. It takes 163 years at 65 miles an hour to drive to the sun. Let me show you something that's going to blow your mind. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find this scripture. Luke chapter 23. We see Jesus on the cross with the two criminals. One is railing and one is questioning. We see that one opens up and asks Jesus to come into his heart, so to speak. Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? It's in heaven. I mean, there's a whole lot of, we could get into a whole study on the kingdom of God, but in this passage, believe me, take my word for it, that the kingdom of God is in heaven. Jesus' kingdom is in heaven. The sun, 93 million miles away, we can observe that. Take us 165,000 years to get there. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. That for God, he don't have to get in a car. He don't have to get in an airplane. He don't have to get in a rocket ship. But God could travel millions and millions of miles at just the blink of an eye. And today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, if that don't fire your soul up, I don't know what does. That God could take us from heaven to earth, and that when we pass away, that we don't have to start jogging to heaven, and we're going to get there about 2 billion years later. But we know that when we close our eyes in death, that the Bible says to wake up is to be proston theon, to be looking face to face with God. And that lets us know, man, that ought to give us some comfort. That whenever we go through some problems, that whenever we go through trials in life, that we don't have a God that's out there, but we have a God who's right here. And if he's not right here, he can get here. Oh, praise him. If he's not right here. I remember one time I was leaving the church, and I was driving up Penn Avenue, and I got over there where Penn and Graham intersect, and there was an accident on the right-hand side. And I was driving through, and there was a lady coming from the other direction, and she was rubbernecking, and she was not looking where she was going. And she ran right into me head on. And we crashed, and I saw myself starting to go through the window. And just as I lifted up out of the seat and was going through the window, the airbag deployed and hit me in the face and knocked me back. Quicker than quick, that quick, that airbag came and saved me from going through the windshield of that window. I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials you're dealing with, no matter what troubles you're dealing with, that whenever you go through it, there's a God. He's right there. He's right on time. He's right in the midst of it. God is not late. He's not going to come an hour later, but he's right there when you need him. Right there when you need him. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, what about the stars? What about the stars? There was a little girl who was walking with her father, and she looked up at the sky, and she saw the stars, and she said this. She said, "Oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like?" If the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like? On a clear night, we can see 3,000 stars. If we have a telescope, now that's with the naked eye. If we have a telescope, we can observe more than 100,000 stars on a clear night. The stars that we see in our galaxy, just in our galaxy alone, and he pointed it out on the video, in our galaxy alone, there are 100 billion stars. 100 billion stars. Just in our galaxy alone. Just in our galaxy. Now, watch this. I don't know if you remember on there, but how many galaxies are there? There's over 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and over 100 billion galaxies. So if we took our galaxy and took the 100 billion stars that are in our galaxy and we multiplied that times the 100 billion galaxies that are out there, you know, once again, I'm not a math person. I'm a theology person. But the only thing I'm going to say is that that's a 10 with a whole lot of zeros. That's a 10 with a whole lot of zeros. As a matter of fact, it's a 10 with 21 zeros behind it. That's how many stars that we can estimate that's out there in the universe. Look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Over 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Over 100 billion galaxies. Psalm 147. It says here, he appoints the number of the stars. And he calls them by name. He appoints the number of the stars. And he calls them by name. Great is the Lord, and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. Look at Job, I believe it's chapter 38. Job chapter 38. God calls each star by name. In Job, God is rebuking Job for thinking that that God left him all by himself and that he was dealing with this issue. And then God begins to proclaim his greatness. In Job 38 and verse 31, God says to Job, "Can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Maseroth in his season, or can you guide Arcturus with his sons?" What is God doing? God is calling the stellar constellations by name. He said, "Job, can you bind? Can you tie together the sweet influences of Pleiades, the stellar constellation? Can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Maseroth?" And many of the ancient Hebrews believed that Maseroth was the name for the Big Dipper. And God says, "I'm so bad that I can call them by name. 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars in each galaxy, and God calls them by name. How great is our God? How great is our God?" And one day, the stars will fall from the sky. And one day, the stars will all go away. The Bible says that God is going to create a new heaven and new earth, and they'll all go away. If God is over a star that's going to go away, that's eventually going to fall out of sight, how much more can we hold on to his unchanging hand? How much more can we put a faith in a God who knows all these stars and calls them by name? How much more can we hold to his unchanging hand? Build your hope on things eternal, God's unchanging hand. The God who made the firmament, who made the deepest sea, the God who put the stars in place, is the God who cares for me. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. And then finally, we see the galaxies and the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the heavens, the Milky Way galaxy in which we live is so fast that traveling at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second, it would take you 100,000 years to travel across it. The known universe is so immense that it would take 28 billion years to travel across it. Yet and still, the Bible says that God fills all space, and that not only does he fill all space, but that he is beyond all space. What a mighty God we serve. That God is able to go beyond our galaxy. He's be able to go beyond galaxies, and he is at the end of everything, and everything is in his power. And as I close the message, and I got a whole, as you can see in the notes, I got a whole another part two to this sermon. But let me just close with this right here. Turn to Psalm 8:4. Psalm 8:4, as we think about this great God that we have. Psalm 8 and verse 4. Actually, let's begin reading in the first verse. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the bowels of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him? The psalmist said, Lord, as I stand back and as I look at the creation, and you ought to do this sometimes. You ought to do this sometime. Maybe tonight, it just go and look up in the sky. When I consider the heavens, and I see Orion, Pleiades, Maseroth, the Big Dipper, the stars in the sky. When I see the sun, that's 93 million miles away, and I begin to consider, who put all these things there? How did all these get there? That there is a great God somewhere. The psalmist said, when I meditated on that and when I thought about that, he said, and I believe that he bowed his head and he said, what is man? What is man that you should even think about me? Who am I? Who am I, God? Hundreds of billions of stars in this whole universe that you are controlling and that you got your mind on, and you are moving this big mass of conglomeration. Who am I that you should even think about me? And the NASB says, and who is the Son of Man that you should even take care of him? My brothers and sisters, this is a humbling thought. And I think, you know, the problem is sometimes we've given, I wish I had it today. I don't have it, but I'm working on it. Somebody said that the king of pop is dead. Somebody said that the king of soul is dead. Somebody said that the king of comedy is dead. Somebody said that the king of rock and roll is dead. But somebody said that the king of kings lives forever. Amen. 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 What is man? Who am I that you are mindful of me? God, I don't deserve you. I don't even deserve a thought. Lord, you got too much going on in your universe. You got too much going on in this existence of space. Who am I that you would even think about me? His eye is on a little bitty sparrow, and I know he watches over me. And I thank you, God, that as one songwriter put it, how big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try to tell, these lips could only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, Part 2, from our series, How Great is Our God? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, Part 1, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall. Remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.